Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. And today we're going to be continuing our journey on thoughts and how that relates to depression. This is our second part of this particular topic, because depression is a big thing. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and we want to explain a little bit of what people are going through and how it comes to this particular part of our energy where depression comes in. We're going to have a lot of definitions from Spirit that hopefully will give you some insight on how to regard this particular energy, because there's no such thing as depressed people. It's a depressed energy that's around you. So we're going to be talking about that. This is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers. I'm one of them, to talk about various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. Let's get right into our topic. We are looking at, of course, depression. The color today, it's orange. And it connects to self-worth, self-image, self-value, and the inner management in the way that we handle our emotions. That's sort of the theme for today. What to do with those energies? Because no matter what it is, it's an energy, and we know how to handle it and how to mitigate it, what to do with it. It's not as hard as it might seem. It's just difficult when we're doing it and really not sure what to look for and that. So, but when we see things are going into a different direction, we can see, okay, we got to be able to change this. Now, from our last episode, just to give you a quick snapshot, one of the last things that Spirit said regarding depression is that they said, depression is a feeling that you get when you have a negative meaning inside of you that is activated from a trigger outside. In other words, we talked about the concept of compression. Compression, what it is, from an energetic perspective, is that if you are trying to find an answer to something, you're going out looking for data. It's almost like a self-research, finding out you want to love more or finding out different reasons for things. Would they call that compression? Compression is when everything comes together and we look at it as, okay, this is all the data that I have. And most of the people, they'll go to the outside first, looking for different evidences of what they need to get answers and solutions. When they have exhausted those resources, then they go inward. When there's something inside of you that has a negative definition, that's depression. So in other words, it has nothing to do with a chemical imbalance in our brain, is sometimes what we're led to believe. It has nothing to do with that, and it has nothing to do with heredity. We could say that, well, my mother had depression and my grandmother had depression. Even my great-grandmother had depression. And Spirit says that may be true. However, it's not because of the blood or of heredity or DNA. Nothing to do with that. It's just that what your great-grandmother did, whatever happened, they worked their energy in a certain way and got a certain outcome. That was taught to the next generation, which was your grandmother. Then it was your mother. In other words, the pattern has repeated itself with a certain outcome. And you're seeing signs that you're having the same type of depression, let's say, and wondering, oh, it's because of my background. Well, it isn't. It's just that you've been taught to run your energy the same way as your mom or your grandmother. And of course, you're going to have the same answer. In other words, just because years and years go by, it doesn't change science. Science is the same no matter what happens. If you throw a pen on the ground, you'll know that gravity will put it to the ground because it's gravity. It has that weight. So when we look at depression in this particular way, we realize that, oh, I have full control over this. And you do. You have absolute and full control however way the depression will come on in. What this is a process that you're trying to find what this stimulus is. What is this negative definition you have inside of you that has something to do with depression? Well, first of all, through no fault of your own, you were born in a society that had a system. And a system was a conditioning that we are always supposed to look at something that is declining. Everything is declining. We are told at a very young age that if this happens and that happens, if I get a new job, yeah, but what if I get fired and then we lose our home? In other words, there's always something in the narrative that we've been raised, and that's sort of the way we've been conditioned to think. It's not the way that it is, and it has nothing to do with positive thinking. Some people say, I just can't think as positive as you, Tony. First of all, don't look at it that way, because if you're saying, I have to think positive, you're trying to put something in that is already in that needs to come out. Let me ask you this. If you're trying to get something out of a bottle, let's say there's dirt or there's something in a bottle, how do you get that out of there? If you're trying to put something more sand in, it's not going to do anything. In other words, you don't want to bring something in. Something is already in that we need to replace. It's the way that we look at things, and it's always the condition of how can we make things grow. Now, that sounds like positive thinking, but it really isn't. It's a conditioning. I'll give you one example. From an early age, we talk about the weather. How many people have ever heard the weather person say, we're going to have 10% chance of rain, or a 5% chance of rain, rather than you're going to be 95% or 90% chance of sunshine? Even if it's 90% chance of rain, they will never tell you there's 10% chance of sunshine. That's just one element. And we hear this again and again. Oh, okay, it's going down. Everything's going down. Another example is a gas gauge. Many of our vehicles right now will tell you how many kilometers you have left before you're empty, right? That's what it says on the dash. You have 233 kilometers or whatever that you have left before you're empty. And really, in reality, what you have is you have 233 full mileage that you can go in that car. But they would never explain it that way. Because it has to be a sense that in the end, there has to be decline. So after a while, we start thinking that way. Everything's a decline. Everything's a decline. Another one in our movie industry is the same thing. We could get this Superman as this hero. At the very end, what happens is that the villain comes back and in for another sequel. I don't know if you've ever seen that, because some of the newer ones where the movie is over and Superman or Batman or whoever won the day, they saved everything, they saved the world. And then at the very end, then it tells that a villain has come up and he says, okay, I can't wait to come back. And so it sets you up, oh, it's a decline. In other words, there's always something that you're going to drop the other shoe. And what this conditions us, and this is where it sort of depression comes in, is because when something good happens to you, you feel that there's a price to pay for that. There isn't. There never has been. But we've been conditioned to expect that. So it's normal. It's not you. It's the way you've been taught to think. No matter how old you are, this has been going on for hundreds of years. So again, it has nothing to do with the fact that, ooh, I can't do this. As long as you're aware of it is the first step. Be aware that, yes, from an early age, I've always been told this. I've always been told that there's something that could happen, the other shoe will drop or whatever. And that's the way that we are thinking. When we are aware of that to start with, then we can start there, realizing, okay, this has been something that's been recorded to me again and again, and I can't get away from it. Like in the music industry is another one. There's this one music that I used to love. I don't know if you ladies remember it. It was called Sitting on the Dock of a Bay by Otis Redding. I know it's a 60s song, but I used to love that song. You know, as a kid, I would play it on my record player. They had record players back then. I would put it on loop, where it would just play again and again and again. I used to love that song. It's such a calm song and everything. But, you know, when you look at the words, this is, oh, wow, look at how I've been conditioned myself. It's like, first of all, it says, sitting on the dock of a bay, watching the tide rolling away. Watching the ships come in and watch them roll away again. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and loneliness won't leave me alone. Now, if you hear that again and again and again, well, no wonder like we can't think expansively, but it's an amazing song, isn't it? Like, it still is. I could still listen to it now. If they changed the words, it would be my favorite song. I would listen to it. However, knowing what I know now, I don't listen to that anymore. Only because I know what it does. I know what it does to my energy, my aura, and 15 other things with my energies. I'll give you an example. I found one on the internet just recently, marvelously. This lady was on talent show, America's Got Talent, and she did a song. And I just thought, oh, wow, I'm going to play it for you. The kind of thing that is going in and just experience the song, and we'll talk about it when we're done.
Hold your hand till it goes cold. Hold my tears until you go. With all the life that leaves your bones, it soaks the purpose from my own.
What did you think? Isn't that a beautiful song? But when you look deeper, it's trying to convince someone to stay with you in some way because they don't want to, whatever the situation is. But in the end, it's saying, please don't go. I love the whole melody and everything. But if somebody wants to go, let them go. If they don't want to be with you, you let them go. You see, it's so subtle. We miss it. We miss it in our society. And Spirit says these kind of songs do wonders for the melody. There's just something in the words that has the fact that it will end up leading to depression because we are always looking for validation from the outside. And we never have to. You're beautiful. You're wonderful all by yourself. We don't force anyone to be with you. They should fight to be with you. That's the difference. The man or woman that you're looking for is the one that will never leave. You're not looking for someone that will fill a bed. You're looking for someone that you could live with. You want someone that you can't live without, and vice versa. That's commitment. So I wanted to play that one just to give you an idea of how those messages are going through. And because of the words, that will really resonate with the society's message to constantly look for validation in other people. So that will be a hit. It has to be, because they want that message to go out to millions of people. And it has. But all the ones that have to do with uplifting yourself, they don't do as well. And there's a reason for it, okay? They're just as good as music, but it doesn't have the message that they want. So in other words, when we believe that the help is outside of us, that's where everything is, and looking inward always has the solution that we're looking for, because that's where the answers are. The answers are always inside of you. I heard a quote the other day that said, "Those who look outside, dreams and waits. Those who look inside, awakes and creates." Very, very fitting for what we're talking about today. So the thing is, where is your fear? If you're fearing that you will be alone, that song will be perfect, isn't it? It's the same thing. I don't want to be alone, so please stay. Marvelous song, and it resonates. But when we look at the deeper part of it, is like, yes, I do want someone that will add to my life, but not at the cost of my self-worth, not at the cost of anything else that has to do with me bowing down to someone else or an energy that I am now subservient and relying on them for my happiness. So there's a boundary. And that's all Spirit wants for you to understand. And the moment you could start bringing up your standards, depression is impossible. Because depression is always at a point where we feel the least. We always don't think we are very much to anybody. We are always at a point where the world probably is better off without me. And that's where it usually will go, the more and more we think about it in that way. But it isn't like that. Because what we fear, that's where those little bits of negative definition you have inside of yourself, where you need to go, that's your work. People say, "I don't know what to do." Yes, you do. Everyone knows what it is they have to do. At the same time, a lot of people are avoiding the harder work because it's so difficult. Heard of one client recently that they said, "I'm really in trouble. I'm going into some depression because I haven't done my taxes in 4 years. And they got a notice in, and now they're stressed, and I just can't get to them. I just can't get to them." So what is your fear? "My fear is I don't want to do the taxes." No, that's not your fear. Look deeper. Essentially what it is that after about 20 minutes, they realize that the reason that they don't do their taxes is because their underlying definition of who they are is that I work hard for my money, and there's not much left at the end of the month. And now the government wants more. That is a negative definition of doing the taxes in the first place. You see the conflict? The taxes come in. I don't owe this. I don't want to pay it. That's the depression. So when we look at it as, okay, let's look at that part. Is there any way we can uplift that energy? That I work hard and the government takes the money and I don't have much left. One solution we talked about was, how do we make more? Can we cut costs? Right away, as soon as you're in solution mode, depression is gone, isn't it? Depression is the least amount of options you have that puts you into an energy that you feel like giving up. So we do the reverse when you want to get out of depression. Come up with 15 solutions. Some will be wild, like how can I triple my income? How can I cut my costs? And when you start looking at those things, okay, now I can do it. And you're moving, you're in action. You're actually moving something in your mental capabilities. Your emotional stance is changing. And now doing the taxes won't be such a big deal. The people that are trying to address the taxes, but not looking at the root cause, it's always going to be stressful because underlying, they don't want to pay it. Now, whether or not there's other different aspects of this regarding, you know, what the government does with the money and so on, but that's not the problem. The problem is inside of this, was in this person. One of the quotes that I saw regarding this was, "We are not what happened to us. We are what we wish to become." And that's who we are. All of these negative things that have happened to you, all those cruel things that people did to you, that's not who you are. Who you are is what you want to become. Because all those things are simply distractions. Maybe it wasn't very nice of what some people did to you, or called you, or doubt yourself, and you let it go for a very long time. But I'll tell you, the reason you're here today is because somewhere along the line, you had enough, and you moved on. And then we have the guilt of, why did I wait so long? Don't look at it that way. What you did was, I got out, period. So you've learned something. When you take everything as a lesson, there is no depression. When you take everything that the world is against you, depression sets in. Do you see the difference? So look at it as, what did you learn? All of you are very smart individuals. I know all of you. And you have potential like unimaginable. Carl Jung, one of my favorite poets, he says, "If you don't know who you are, just tell the world, because the world will tell you who you are from their perspective." And so the question becomes, why are we asking other people who we are? How do they know? They have no idea who we are. They see things and they judge. And from their perspective and their experience, they tell us who we are. Like, that's just like saying 2 + 2 = Thursday. It has nothing to do with each other. It's got nothing. People always saying, you know, I want a new life. I'm just fed up with this life. It's just over, and I just grind to work and home, and I'm doing the same thing, getting the same results. I want a new life. I want to change. And those same people get up the same way. They have the same thoughts. They have the same role that they're playing. They react the same way. They have breakfast in the same way. They do everything the same way, but just because they said they want a new life, they want to experience something new, but doing it in an old way. Like, if I were to tell you, I want to be able to take a series of music on the road, and then you bring in your record player and your 8-track cassettes, and the most songs you could play is 8 or 10 songs, and you're over, you're done, your cassette's done. But the new way, I could take 1,000 songs on my phone, because we're not looking at tape anymore. We're not looking at the old technology. This is all digital. As soon as everything went digital, it was a totally new way of experiencing how music is presented to you. And it's only those people that are connoisseurs of sound that they're going back to vinyl. They love the hiss of the vinyl. That's why it's becoming to come back, because it's not the Gen X people that are doing that. They don't care. They love the digital. It's us. It's the baby boomers that love that hiss, because that's what we grew up with. And it has a completely different, distinct sound. And you know why? Because we don't want perfect. Digital is perfect. It has no sound. But we want something not so perfect, which is perfect for us. I love the sound of the hiss. When we're playing a Beatles album or something, I could take it out. And it does have a different sound. I'm not looking for perfection. The same as if I meet a woman, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for her hiss. Or her something different. It's not perfect. I'm not looking for perfection. Because too perfect is what? This is a person that probably has fake eyelashes, a fake lips, breast implants, and a whole thing, a whole package. And it's like, do you know who you are anymore? You've reinvented yourself physically, but inside it's empty. And to some people, that's attractive. But to me, because I'm looking for something more in a woman, we're looking for something more in a person. And I'm seeing that there's so much void in so many people because they're not working on the inside. And it's the inside that's attracting me. However, this is starting to grow. More and more people are doing that. We're wanting to be able to get to a certain point, but there's an energy of experience that we're also looking for. The old beliefs and the old patterns of course, will resist. You know, if you have something that you've been doing for a long time, I'm talking 10, 20, 30 plus years, you're doing the same thing over and over again, it's now a rut. It's now digging so deep in your patterns that it's going to be hard to get that out right away. So it's going to resist, of course, because, hey, this is not the way we do things. And the people that are sort of mildly interested in a new life, they are one of the first ones to fall off it and go back into the rut. Because it's just easier. It's not great, but it's familiar. And a lot of people want familiarity. I'm used to this. I know it sucks, but at least I know what I'm getting. Because anything that grows will have resistance, will have pain. You look at anything in nature. Lobsters, that's how lobsters grow. They grow because their shell doesn't grow. They get to a certain weight and a certain size. It's painful. Not only that is painful, but they have to pry this off them with a rock underneath. I can't even imagine how painful that would be. And then when the shell is off, they have to hide because there's no protection. It's just like fresh meat in the ocean. My God, fish would grab them in a second. So they find a place where there's not that many fish or any predators. That's when they pry off that thing. What that means in human form is this is maybe why you have to be alone. Because you're prying off a shell that you don't want anybody to be picking at. And so this is perfectly normal. It's like that in nature. It's going to be like that. We're part of nature. We're going to be the same thing. So if you're going in that place, don't look at it as depressing. This is my way of finding out who I'm going to be and how I'm going to grow. So this is why it's so great. Try not to look at it as you're fighting to get out of this old pattern. Rather than fighting, go the opposite way. Because again, fighting is going down. It's always that point that you have to work so hard to get to something in the end. And you don't. That's just what we've been told. Instead of fighting, how do we do it so that we're easing into our new self? You're doing the same thing. It's just that the perspective is different. Fight to get rid of the old, or don't even focus on the old. Just focus on, I want to ease into this new life. Doesn't that even sound better? You're easing into a new life rather than having to fight anything. Some people also say in depression that I think I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. I'm just stuck. And Spirit says that isn't exactly true because being stuck is energetically impossible. You can't be stuck. It is true that we feel the experience that we're not moving, or nothing is moving, or I'm not advancing myself, or I'm trying various things and I keep going back to this old and I just can't get out. But all Spirit is saying there, and there's more to it, and they're not discounting your feelings, but they are saying that the feelings itself feels like stuck, but what it really is a lack of options. As soon as you talk to somebody and they could give you 6 other things to do, oh, I never thought of that. Did think of that, but I really don't want to do that. That's different. But come up with options, because that is where a lot of things are going to change for you. It's the awareness, as we talked about, the more options that you can bring into your life, the better everything will be. David Negum, he's one of the top public speakers that I've heard recently. Even he says, be very careful when you are in this lower depressive sort of state. Sometimes when we can offer some comfort to someone else, that exchange of energy, being uplifting, will also uplift you. Because at number one, it brings in your self-value. It brings in what you could bring to the table. You know, it's some of the best teachers used to be the best students. The ones that could follow. In military, this is so, so true. When somebody is an expert at following, they were being an expert in leading as well. The leaders are the best followers in some cases. They're not given the position. It's like the people follow them because they just have this sense about things, and they will follow people that have insights, that is there for the whole thing. So when you're giving comfort to somebody, that will help your depressive state because it gives you that option. One example that he gave in this time was, oh, Sonia, you look really tired today. Now, you think you might be helping the person by saying, oh, you know, I'm sorry, or that I see you in this state, but you're actually placing a suggestion on them to bring in a series of events that could happen in there that may lead to some depression down the road. If you are sending them energy of exhaustion, because that's what you're doing. Oh, you look tired. So I'm sending you this energy of exhaustion. You are reinforcing the fatigue that they might be feeling. Maybe they just might be thinking they're tired. And then somebody says, oh, you look tired. Oh, now I am tired. And then guess what happens after that? They feel even more tired. So you are directing them to the attention of what's wrong and not what's strong. And he goes on by saying, when we do that, this is again what society wants us to do, is that we feel good and then there's a decline. But why does it have to happen that way? It doesn't. That's just what we've been told and what we see. And that's okay, but we're aware of it, that we're doing it. So we could change it. So one thing that you could do is that if they are that tired, they're now self-conscious, and you know that. So how do we make it so we don't give that person the weight of our words, and they will follow what the words are? Instead, we could say, you know, I really feel your resilience. You have this never-ending stop of energy, and it's inspiring. I wish I could do what you can do. And that's the same thing. People could still look tired, and by saying that, they look resilient and that they are an inspiration, right away, that is uplifting. That will give them that energy that they could now move on, and you become something way different. We're just going to get into the meditation in a few minutes here, but what this also says is that being depressed also has to do with speed. Moving fast and thinking fast is pretty much makes you immune to depression. Depression is really the point where things are moving very slowly and you feel that you can't keep up. But when you introduce speed, it changes the landscape dramatically. Speed actually defies gravity. I mean, look how a plane flies. Now, the reason the plane doesn't plummet to the earth is because it's going so fast, it's going too fast to fall. So there's action involved. Whenever you introduce that, if something that you're working towards, something that you want to be, you want to bring up your designation, let's say you want your master's degree or you want something else, even if you're working in a coffee shop, you're taking courses on customer service, you're taking courses on bettering yourself, you're doing yoga classes, you're doing all these things in action because you want to keep moving. Not only physically, but in areas like yoga, energetically and spiritually, you're also moving. And you're also moving the emotional part of it. You're bringing all that out and you're holding that pose. One of the things about yoga that I really enjoy, I really like, is the fact that the exercise is the holding part. Have you noticed? When you get a pose, it's easy to hold that pose for 10 seconds. But hold it for 5 minutes or 4 minutes. That's where you start sweating because you're holding that pose and that holding is massive. Even though you're not moving, spiritually, you're going like a Lamborghini because there are things in your energy at that pose because our arms and legs are all connected to various parts of the universe. Our fingers are all connected to the five elements of life. All of these things, when you put them together, have a meaning or have a certain purpose in why that pose was done the way it is. And once you can hold it and hold it, it actually pushes that negative energy out of your system. It really does. This is where it is really great to be able to look at those things and also realize that the fact that if someone else is in that depressive mode, you can only do so much. Do everything, but try not to send them worry. Try not to send them concern. Because keep one thing in mind, if you are focused on somebody and you feel or see or sense that they are in a depressive state, because they might even tell you that I feel depressed, I just feel down. It's okay to feel down over a short time, But let's say they'd been depressed for 6 months. What that does, it becomes more chronic. Not physically, it's just that now that seems to be the way of life that seems to work for them. Even if it doesn't work for them, the fact is that they are just letting themselves be that way. So if you're noticing that somebody is in the depressive state, that means you are at a higher vibration than they are. Because two people that are depressed, they won't see each other. They'll be able to relate to each other, but they won't be able to add anything of value. Because they'll say, yeah, today's really bad. Yeah, today's really bad too. You want to go out? No, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out either. In other words, they won't see anything of value in that same lateral movement. It's only when a person has a higher vibration and they could see it, where they could offer an uplifting comment or something, you'll see it. But try not to include worry, because they will feel it. They won't know what it is. They'll just feel this extra weight on them, and that is your energy because you're more powerful at that perspective, that you're actually sending them concern and worry. Instead, send them light. Send the fact that, you know, I won't tell a person I know you could do this, because that brings in more depression. If a person that's depressed and they say you could do this, they know they could do it, but they're not doing it, and that's why they're depressed. Because we haven't found the root cause or what negative definition that they have for themselves. They haven't looked into themselves or why they feel like that. I'll give you one example that's really great. One is, if somebody, let's say, says something to you that's insulting. Let's say they say that, I don't like your sweater. I don't like your hairdo. You look a little overweight. And let's say some people won't say you anything if someone tells them that. Because inside, you might agree with them. So you don't say anything. But if they were to say the same thing to your child, I don't like her sweater, I don't like her haircut, and you know your kids are a little overweight, right away you click in and you start defending them. And so some people will say, well, how come it's the same thing, but I reacted from someone else, my child, but I didn't say anything about myself? And that's because they are different. Because the negative definition inside of you is that you're not enough. Is that you are not powerful. You are not pretty or handsome or anything. That's you. Another definition that you have inside of you is that I am a great supporter. I'm a great parent. I am committed to my kids. You see how powerful that sounds? And when somebody picks on your kids, that's the positive inside of you that's coming out. That's not depressive. So they are two different things. It's the same words and it's the same stimulus, but it's appealing to a different part of you that is stronger. So what we're doing is we're trying to work in all of those triggers inside of you so that when something hits, you can now defend yourself because you are worthy. You are powerful, you are beautiful, you are all these things. The moment you know that, your standards have gone up. Then when somebody says, you know, you look a little overweight, I don't like your sweater, I don't like your hair, then your reaction would be, wow, then you really don't know me. Boy, I don't know who did something to you, but it probably wasn't a small thing. I really pity you. Why would you say such a thing? It's like, all of a sudden, the person stands back and he, what could he say? Because you're defending yourself, because now that is your new narrative you have within yourself. And the other thing is, sometimes we try and overdo things. We know a person that is very depressed and we overdo it. And we try to help in whatever way we can. And our intentions are, of course, very, very good. But when we worried and we try to intervene too much, what Spirit says, sometimes the best way to clear muddy waters is to leave it alone. Sometimes that's the answer. But that's not maybe what you want to do, because then you feel like you're not doing anything. When is it about you? If you're concerned with somebody else, how does your feelings ever get in there? In other words, if you don't think you're doing enough, that's your work. But if it's a muddy water, the best way to clear it is just leave it alone. Let everything settle, and if you've raised them right, if it is your kids or if it is whoever it is, they will find their way out. And you will always be there with support and love along the way. But they have to see you also doing things. They look at everything through example. Okay, in this meditation, we're going to talk about and go through the water meditation. It's things that flow to you. This way, you'll be able to really find whatever it is that's your genre. Get comfortable. Take a nice deep breath of this beautiful orange color, this very powerful sacral energy orange. It's a childlike color because children have so much energy because their sacral is wide open. Everything is so creative. That's who we are inside.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You can also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.